It's Chevy Auto Showtime at your local Chevy dealer. Now's your chance to check out a Chevy Silverado 1500 pickup with 1.9% APR financing. Go to Chevy Drive Chicago for details. Hurry, this is one Auto Showtime deal you don't want to miss.
Anthony Scaramucci's in the news for reasons that future generations will have to explain to us. But there he is, HillReporter.com, CNN.com. They continue to go to him for comments about Donald Trump, like he's credible. He was there not even for a cup of coffee. His Keurig is still trying to fill up, as it were, at the White House. He's out the door. And did he ever strike you as a credible commentator on things about U.S. government or the White House? No. So he's gone after 10 days. But CNN loves to go to him now because he says things like Donald Trump's cuckoo bananas, and that's CNN's byline now. Here's this article. Toward the end, it says, Scaramucci also took Trump's rhetoric on social media to task this week, comparing it with one of the presidents whose famous faces adorns Mount Rushmore. When the leader of the free world continues to words like locked and loaded, Scaramucci said, it's the opposite of somebody like Teddy Roosevelt. Speak softly, carry a large stick. And Trump's words ascending the military threats out over Twitter, it's a precarious situation. I think it's very serious. I don't think Trump should be saying locked and loaded, or we're going to wait until the kingdom figure out what we should do. I don't like that either. But I wouldn't go to Scaramucci for commentary. I would go to Teddy Roosevelt himself. The man that's going to perform as Teddy Roosevelt is on line 7. Clay Jenkinson, are you there? Hello.
Hello, my friend, John Williams.
Hi, Clay. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm in Medora, North Dakota, out on the Little Missouri River, and that's exactly where Theodore Roosevelt spent about 3 years of his life between 1883 and 1887 playing cowboy and rancher, and it had a transformative energy, and it really, he believed that it's what made him the Theodore Roosevelt who eventually was on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. So I asked you to come on just today for a few minutes to talk a little bit about, I don't normally do this, but I want to just talk about what we're going to talk about at the show when you come on as, well.
These are unrehearsed.
I
wouldn't know what to do if we had a plan.
Well, they trust me, we won't, I'll tell you what some of my thoughts are. You tell me if they're any good, but I won't tell you exactly what I'm going to say because I don't know it. By the way, Sarah Tiemann, who is our marketing and promotions manager here at the radio station, is in the studio. If people want to get tickets, hi, Sarah, how are you?
Good, John, how are you?
It's good to see you.
You too.
So if people want to get tickets to see Teddy Roosevelt on stage, how do they do it?
The easiest way is to go to our website, WGNradio.com/Teddy. And we'll link you right there to buy tickets. Or if you need to pick up a phone and do it the old-fashioned way, you can also call the box office at the Elgin Community College Art Center at 847-622-0300. But WGNradio.com/Teddy will give you all that, their hours, and a link to buy online.
I think we should give people Bright Side of Life pins if they show up. Can we give some Bright Side of Life pins?
Actually, we are going to be doing that. Joint Relief Institute, a sponsor of the show, will have a table outside to give away pins. And also Kelly Cruises will be there to promote your upcoming trip to Istanbul.
We're going to go, starting in Istanbul, we'll be there for not very long, but then off we go to Athens, Santorini, Ephesus, my favorite destination in the world, up the Dalmatian coast to Kotor and Dubrovnik. I don't even know what that I just said. and I will say this. If you Google Regent Splendor, Splendor is the name of the boat, Regent is the line. If you Google Regent Splendor, you'll see the ship we're going to be on. That's worth your time. But first, I want you to come to the show. They'll hand out promotional material there. So one more time, if you want to buy tickets to the show, what do you do?
WGNradio.com/Teddy. We made it super easy for you.
Yeah, yeah. Although I don't think Roosevelt liked being called Teddy. Did he, Clay?
No, he thought that was a diminutive, a boy's name. Plus, his first wife, Alice, who died after giving birth to his oldest daughter, Alice, she called him Teddy, and so he couldn't really stand it when other people did. But for the purposes of marketing, why not?
I was going to say, please forgive us.
We'll forgive.
Thank you.
But it's funny because here he was, this big macho man, a cowboy, but you know, he had a button. You wanted to push it, just call him Teddy. It was too easy. You know, I mean, to me, in some ways, he was a contradiction or a conundrum anyway. Here he is, a rough, tough, tumble cowboy. he was our most literate president. Would you describe him as that, Clay, the most literate president?
Yes, and I think maybe the most intellectually well-prepared president in American history. He was, and he also had a very sentimental, tender, sensitive streak. So there's your paradox. You know, he's a warmonger and a jingoist, and he's a big game hunter who loves to shoot big quadrupeds, but he's also a very tender-hearted man, particularly on family matters.
Yeah, tender-hearted, if you weren't a white rhino. How many white rhinoceroses did he kill?
And it's like six or seven, and finally his guide is like a big game British hunter. One of those guys said, maybe enough on the white rhino. You know, Roosevelt, I mean, he was doing this to get specimens for the Smithsonian and the American Museum of Natural History, but he also loved to shoot large animals, and we, you know, it's not exactly the way you and I see the world, but boy, people who see the world that way do, even now. And so he didn't see the contradiction. In fact, he believed that hunters are the best conservationists because they want to preserve the species so their grandchildren and great-grandchildren can have the same experience of hunting a rhino, hunting a giraffe, hunting a buffalo, etc.
Well, hunters say that today, too, and I think that conversation has changed. It may be truer now than it was then. You know, on one hand, it's justification. On the other hand, if you pay a large license to fund a lion habitat, then that's a source of revenue for them. They could spare a lion. I understand that. You know what I don't understand, though? Go ahead, Clay.
Is what? No, you, sir.
Well, so I've been reading this book, The Crowded Hour, Theodore Roosevelt, The Rough Riders and the Dawn of the American Century by Clay Risen. It's a new book, and it just talks about...
Nice book. I've been reading it, too.
Well, it talks about him going to fight in Cuba against the Spaniards, and this is his Crowded Hour. This is his charge up San Juan Hill. Anyway, it was, I think... it was, how do you put it? Was it wrong? It was not, I don't understand his desire for war. I don't understand the nation's desire for war. I don't understand how people could not volunteer fast enough to fight in that war. And these are people who had lived through the Civil War, and for some reason, they couldn't wait to fight in Cuba. Could you explain that to us?
Well, yes, and I think on stage we should look at that question. So a couple of things. So first of all, Roosevelt's father, Theodore Roosevelt Sr., did not fight in the Civil War, though he thought he should, at the request of his wife, a Southerner.
Yeah.
He bought proxies. You could pay proxies to fight on your behalf, and he did that twice. And for Theodore Roosevelt, our Theodore Roosevelt, that was a matter of shame. So he had something to prove there. He also had what we would call, I suppose, manhood insecurities, not only about himself, but about the country. And so he thought war would perk us up and bring out the strength of us and make us more manly and less effeminate and so on. And he also believed that America had a bigger place in the world. And if we didn't go start to take some of these things like Hawaii and the Philippines and Puerto Rico and so on, that somebody else would, and that would not be good. It wouldn't be good strategically. And it wouldn't allow the United States to take its rightful place as one of the great nations of the world.
I don't like that. To me, that does not travel well, that sentiment, that imperialism.
It is imperialism. But his view was that somebody's going to do this. You know, that he's a little bit like Dick Cheney in this regard. It's a tough world out there. You know, there are bad actors. Someone's going to control the sea lane. Someone's going to control Cuba. Someone's going to control Puerto Rico. And so we're going to do it because, A, we're America. We have ideals.
Okay.
And, B, who else do you want to do it?
Well, then would Teddy Roosevelt have attacked Iran to save a shipping lane or an oil port?
Oh, yes. He would have. So he read this book. Books really mattered to Roosevelt. They changed his life. And he read Mahan's book, The Influence of Sea Power on History. And that book really directed the rest of his life. He became a big Navy man. And what the book said was that the country that controls the sea lanes controls the world. And once you control those sea lanes, you have to be able to control everything. You can't let anybody get away with anything. Because it's like the broken window policy in New York. You've got to get on it right away if you want there to be commerce in the world and if you want your own country to be acknowledged as the policeman of the world. And, you know, we're uneasy about being the policeman of the world. Donald Trump is uneasy about that. But Roosevelt was thrilled to be the policeman of the world.
Okay, let me pause. We'll come back. Sarah, just tell us one more time how to get tickets to the show. This is Clay Jenkinson, the man that will come out with a squeaky, high-pitched, profound voice and perform as Teddy Roosevelt for us on October 12th. We'll tell you one more time how to get tickets. But when we do come back, at least prep us for the answer to this question. Maybe you'll answer it on stage. If not like Donald Trump, maybe like Dick Cheney, tell us who. Who is Theodore Roosevelt the most like that we would know today? Because I aspire for another. I would love for us to have a Teddy Roosevelt, I think. So who would that be today? This little civics thing we do at WGN Radio, where we invite Thomas Jefferson or Teddy Roosevelt to come to Chicago once a year, was never our intent. We thought it would be a fun show, but I am so firmly behind the good that it does for me and for you if you go, that we keep doing it year after year. We keep selling out year after year, and I want you to be at this program. So where's it going to be again, Sarah?
Elgin Community College, their art center at the Blizzard Theater on October 12th. At 10:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Less than 1 month away.
October 12th. So go to WGNradio.com/Teddy. Get your tickets. Drag your kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's great for kids. Every time we see young people, I think I get super excited.
You must love that too, right, Clay Jenkinson, who does Teddy Roosevelt for us?
Of course. You know, Roosevelt is a kind of historical figure that appeals to people of all ages and has a particular appeal to young people. And I actually had the chance to hear Conan O'Brien talk about Roosevelt a year ago in New York, and he said something I found really interesting, John. He said, if you name presidents, people have their reactions. He said, if you name Theodore Roosevelt or Teddy Roosevelt, people automatically smile. That he is the kind of character that just lights you up. That he's so weird, so boyish, so exuberant, so over the top, so larger than life, so almost a caricature of himself, that you just wind up loving him, even if you, as you do, dislike some of his politics.
So convinced that what he's doing is right, and so often right, too, but sometimes wrong. I mean, you know, we don't talk much about some of his views on race, but they weren't exactly advanced.
No, there are people that consider him a white nationalist, you know, in the debate that we're now having. His views of American Indians were often pretty, let's say, condescending, to put it lightly. And he had an incident in Texas called the Brownsville Incident, in which he dishonorably discharged more than 140 African-American soldiers. He was wrong. He even knew he was wrong, but he couldn't stop himself because once Roosevelt got an idea in his head, he got stubborn.
Boy, that sounds familiar. And yet he was also progressive at other times. He was the first president to invite an African-American to the White House for dinner.
He was, and that was Booker T. Washington in October of 1901. He appointed black people to postmasterships and other federal offices in the South. He had Native Americans and others in the Rough Rider group and thought very well of them. He was against lynching and spoke out passionately against it. Edith invited African-American singers and others to perform at the White House. So it's never a simple story. You know, we like to make things oversimple, but it never really is.
All right, so I'll let you go on this. Who today would be the best representation of him?
You know, I think people say John McCain is the closest we've been for a while, but nobody can do it. First of all, Roosevelt just had a unique vitality. I mean, no other president matches it. Nobody in the political scene today can honestly, you know, Joe Biden, really, you want to say that he's Theodore Roosevelt or Donald Trump?
Nope.
You know, Roosevelt wrote 40 books. It's not clear that Donald Trump has read 40 books. No one today can fill the giant cowboy boots of Theodore Roosevelt. But McCain, a maverick, an outspoken guy, a war hero, he had some of it.
Some of it. All right. So, Sarah, if you want to get tickets to see this character come to life on stage, you get to ask questions, too. It's at the Blizzard Theater at Elgin Community College, October 12th. We'll do one show. 10:30 in the morning, right?
Yep, 10:30 a.m., October 12th.
WGNradio.com/Teddy. Do you have the phone number for the box office?
I sure do, 847-622-0300.
All right, sir. We'll see Teddy Roosevelt on stage very soon. It's nice to hear your voice.
And this is how he sounded. It's almost annoying, but this is the way he sounded. So I can't wait to see you in less than a month.
So long. There he goes, and here we are. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Tiemann from our promotions and marketing department. She's the manager there. I'm just a talk show host.